We are delighted to announce our newest podcast sponsor from right here in Derby, Mezzo. Located right next to Pride Park, Mezzo is Derby's newest concept in the fresh, delicious, healthy fast food game. Mezzo uses all local produce to create fresh, authentic products with no processed ingredients, and everything is made fresh to order. Mezzo bringing that Mediterranean style food right here to the heart of Derby. Choose from their pick and mix menu via their online buffet service, or choose bespoke bowls. And with prices starting from £6.95, it really is a great affordable option. They offer eat-in, takeaway and delivery from all major delivery services, open on match days, and they're even available for private event bookings. And of course, as listeners to the podcast, we have an exclusive offer for you. Use code RAMS10 for 10% off total basket price on online orders only. Give Mezzo Derby a try. Check out their app on Apple and Google stores or visit mezzoderby.co.uk. Mezzo. Eat well, love life. Welcome to the Rams Review Podcast. Discussion, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby kept. Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of the Rams Review Podcast with me, Jason, your host for this evening. And it's just me. A strange one on the podcast this week. Obviously, normally we will have guests aplenty. Unfortunately, due to where I am in the country, I'm in the middle of the sticks and internet signal is awful. So unfortunately, I've took the bold decision to not have any guests on the podcast this week, as I don't think the audio would have been good enough for you listeners. So you've just got my dulcet tones for today's episode. So without further ado, we're going to dive in. I've not done one on my own like this for a very, very long time, so I do apologise if people prefer to listen to this when, you know, there's more than one voice. But just for this episode alone, fingers crossed, that's going to be the case. And we'll start off with an apology. I know a couple of times on the podcast last week I mentioned that we play Barnsley next Saturday, or Saturday coming. I was wrong, obviously, it's Charlton. So we're going to preview that one in a little while. Obviously, we've also got Lincoln. We've got a Lincoln perspective from the Stacey West, cracking media channel that. Looking forward to hearing what they've got to say about Lincoln. Unfortunately, not been able to sort anything out for Charlton in time, but we'll still have a bit of a chat on it. But it's a strange one. Derby County's unbeaten run came to an end, and there's only me to talk about it. But that's what I'm going to do. So, Derby's unbeaten league run has finished. Wickham 3, Derby 2, in what was a very interesting, fiery affair, I thought, at Adams Park. Derby very much in the game, but there was always a little bit of something missing. Paul Warne alluded to it in his press conference after. He just felt it was one of those days and something just wasn't quite right. I would have to agree. There was something. You take into consideration that Wickham have won 14 now out of 15 home games. It was always going to be a very, very, very difficult place to go. And it proved to be. It proved to be a step too far in that fantastic 13 or 14, whatever it was, unbeaten league games. So obviously, the point of it is we've got to go on another one. And that starts, hopefully, with Lincoln tomorrow night. But we'll come on to that in a bit. But a bit more on the Wickham game. I honestly did. I thought Derby were in the game. They showed flashes. They had a few decent opportunities. But I did think, straight from the first whistle, they had a chance within 30 seconds. Should have really have scored. And then there was a bit of an ebb and a flow to the game. It was a little bit backwards and forwards. Derby certainly created some chances. And in the end, that finishing touch just wasn't quite there. Obviously, our usual suspects in front of goal, David McGoldrick, I thought, had a bit of a quiet day. The only thing one of the things he did do was set up Derby's first goal. But other than that, it felt like he was not quite in the game. It felt like Mendes Lang, although once or twice he got down the bar line and whipped in a couple of nice balls. I don't think he was involved enough. Dobbin, another goal scorer on Saturday. He played well, but he just didn't quite feel like Derby had got hold of that game. Wickham were attacking regularly. Derby's defence struggled to cope with Sam Vokes up front all game. McCleary on the left as well was causing trouble. And as I say, they've won 14 out of 15 at home. You know, they're 7th, 8th in the league. They were no pushovers. But obviously, beforehand, we are going into every game thinking that Derby can pick up a result. And unfortunately, on Saturday, that just didn't happen. You are going to lose at some point. That run would have ended at some point. Can you take anything from the fact it's come against one of the better sides in the league rather than obviously somebody we would have expected definitely to pick up 3 points? Maybe. Do we think it's important that maybe the defeat has come away from home and not at home, where obviously the form has been red hot? Again, maybe. Maybe. But at the end of the day, it was a step too far. But as I say, in the game itself, Derby played well. I can't say that Derby didn't play well at times. But in the end, it just wasn't quite enough. Their first goal comes from a deflection. I think it's Craig Forsyth, comes out to charge out. It kicks him, flips up over, and lands straight on Sam Vokes and on his right peg. And I have to say, it was a fantastic finish from just outside the edge of the 6 yard box. He could have easily have not controlled that and blazed it over, but he picked his spot, and it was 1-0. And they, as I said earlier, they did threaten on a regular basis, and Joe Wildsmith made a couple of solid stops you expect him to make, I think, but you know, solid stops. They are very much a long ball side. They battered us in the air. Erin Cashin didn't win many headers, which is obviously something that we don't see very often at all at Derby. And there was just something about it. Our midfield couldn't get to grips. Obviously, we are still trying to, now Max Bird's not in there at the minute, we're still trying to get that balance right. It worked against Morecambe, probably didn't quite work against Wickham. Two very different scenarios, two very different games. So obviously this is where Paul Warne has got to change things and look at it and see if he can change things. Certainly, obviously ready for the game tomorrow night, as I'm recording this Monday afternoon. Tomorrow night against Lincoln, which, to be fair, I think he'll probably stick with a similar side anyway, certainly with it being at home. But again, we'll go on to that in a little bit more detail in a minute. But then Derby huffed and puffed, and they got their equaliser through James Collins. Good ball from McGoldrick, and James Collins was there to put it in and score his 10th goal of the season, which was great. And then Derby were back in the game, and it was one of them where you thought it was very similar to the Port Vale, obviously not as late in the day, but it was a similar type of game. If you thought Derby could get one, you would have expected them, you would have banked on them really to get two, and unfortunately that just didn't happen. We were back in the game at 1-1 and we were sort of going for it a little bit, and then Wickham obviously sucker punched us and they got their second, which is disappointing really from a corner routine as well. Paul Warne will tear out any hair that he's got left, as we know he doesn't like conceding from set pieces. It was another deflection, but Derby didn't watch the corner well. It was a well-worked routine, and shot from the edge of the area, and it goes in. Sometimes they don't, you know, sometimes they don't, sometimes they do, and this one unfortunately did. And then obviously Derby at that point have got to push, and that's what they were doing, and got caught cold really. made the changes, which were coming just before Derby had equalised, and then obviously Derby equalised, so Paul decided to not make those changes. I personally would have still made those changes. I know the momentum was sort of with us with the equaliser, but it was at that point, maybe, just maybe, you know, you get back at 1-1, then you put a bit of fresh impetus on to help with that push with the second, and they didn't come. And it's not very often we will, not saying criticise, I'm not criticising it, but it's not very often that Paul Warne doesn't make substitutions at around the 60-minute mark. Obviously, it was around the time that Derby scored. So, a little bit questionable, maybe, to say that they should have still come at that time and given Derby a bit more, you know, another lift. They'd add a lift on the pitch with the goal, give them another lift by bringing on a bit of fresh legs. And maybe it would have been a different outcome. Maybe it wouldn't. Obviously, that's the beauty of football. And we just have to take it for what it is. And I say at that point, you're chasing, they score a third, it's a poor, poor goal to concede. And game over. Or so you thought. Derby did manage to pull another one back with a nice flowing move through the middle up to Dobbin. Dobbin scores. He's waited so long for a goal. His performances recently have been brilliant. He was quite good on Saturday, and you want him to score a winning goal or a goal where you're already a couple of goals up, so you can celebrate. But obviously, you're clinching one with 3 minutes to go. Derby tried to huff and puff towards the end. In the end, just didn't have enough. And as I say, it's not very often that we'll say this, or we have said this, should I say, under Paul Warne. Derby were just not quite good enough on the day, and that's going to happen. So the unbeaten run is done, and as I say, it's imperative. I think now, obviously, you've got to go again. Would have been great to take something out of the game, especially with two home games back to back next coming up, two games, Lincoln, Charlton, before the trip to Barnsley. You know, games that you hope that they'd be able to pick the points up in, and you know, Derby would have been absolutely on a roll. Obviously, we've said over the last couple of weeks about the teams around us are playing each other. Obviously, Ipswich held Sheffield Wednesday. Bolton are on Derby's coattails at the minute after a very impressive 5-0 win at London Road against Peterborough. No, not many teams will certainly go there and do that. So, yeah, it was one of them. Derby obviously do lose that little bit of ground, but maybe Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday drawing, maybe not the end of the world. Obviously, Plymouth picked up their result. So, yeah, Derby lose a slight touch on the teams above, but you've now got two home games back-to-back, win both of those, and, you know, maybe this one will just get forgotten about, and it is about going on that run again. As I say, it was eventually going to come to an end, surely, it sort of had to. And so it's important now to reflect. That's the first defeat in the league since October against Ipswich. And it's going to be all about how Derby react. And as we've seen so far, obviously it's not happened too many times, but when Derby have lost or had a poor result, you know, in a game or a point where they should have probably picked something up or didn't play very well, Derby normally do lift. And so it's important to see if that's the case again tomorrow. And you know, it's almost a monkey off the back. It's such, you know, it, I don't know, obviously I'm not a professional footballer, but you look at it and you think that run, you know, does it start to creep in? Oh, we've won so many, you know, so many in a row, whatever it was, 6 in a row, 14 unbeaten, you know, does that build unnecessary pressure? Maybe that defeat just draws it in a little bit. It doesn't start, you know, it proves that Derby aren't invincible, which obviously I think we know they weren't anyway. But, you know, it proves that. And it's all about the reaction now. And as I say, hopefully that reaction starts tomorrow night against Lincoln, which is going to be the next talking point. So then, Lincoln City at Pride Park tomorrow night. One of those games that, obviously, the reverse of this was under Liam Rossini. Derby went there midweek and got a bit of a shoo-in. imperative that Derby obviously don't do that again, fingers crossed. Obviously Derby at home, they're on fire at the moment, and as I've mentioned in the last segment, it's all about momentum. It's all about getting back to positive ways. So the performance wasn't bad yesterday, Saturday, at all. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't probably at the level that Derby have been at just recently. And it just goes to show you that even at this level, you don't turn up 100%. And, you know, you're not going to win every single game. You've got to be in it. You've got to fight. You've got to battle. You've got to scrap. And obviously there wasn't just quite enough of that on Saturday. But tomorrow night gives us an opportunity to go again. I say it's a quick turnaround. Obviously it's a three-game week with the home game against Charlton. It's going to be interesting to see what he does with the team. Does he freshen it up a little bit? Do we see maybe Barkhuizen start? Do we see Harvey White start? Does Sibley come in for Aidan Roberts? You know, these players that are just starting to come back from injury. Do we stick with the 4-4-2 sort of formation that we've been playing over the last couple of games? Obviously worked brilliantly against Morecambe. Not as brilliantly on Saturday, but the two strikers did link for a goal. So it's going to be interesting. Headaches, positive headaches, as always. And as I say, it's all about getting back on that bandwagon. Lincoln, obviously, middle of the road at the moment this season. They know how to beat Derby, clearly. They've done that already this year. So they certainly won't fear coming to Pride Park. And so Derby have got to get back to those standards, which have been pretty high at Pride Park, it's fair to say. And obviously, if they do that, then I think we can fully expect Derby to come out of tomorrow night with a positive result and hopefully 3 points. If, of course, they're off the game ever so slightly, then, you know, chances are that that probably won't be the case. And so it is going to be interesting just to see how Derby react from that first defeat in so many. Bit of a draw specialist, Lincoln, this season, drawn 13 games out of 28. That's nearly half their games they've drawn, which is a hell of a lot. So, you know, it's one of those. They obviously know how to keep teams at bay. We found that when we went to Sintel Bank earlier on in the year. I thought they were the much better side. Obviously, this is a completely different Derby County side to that one that played, I think it was early, back end of September, early October. But Derby have got to go tomorrow night, put in a professional performance, show that Saturday was just one of those days, it was a blip in the road, and get back to winning ways. They don't want to have too many games without picking up 3 points, of course. So, you know, a great opportunity. Obviously, you hear it all the time. If you lose a game, you want that next game to come right round the corner, and this one is. But obviously, as I say, Lincoln come, they'll not fear coming to Pride Park. I'm sure of that. Say they've known how to, they've got a result against Derby already this year, which was quite a good performance from them, albeit obviously Derby were quite below par that evening. But Derby know that they're going to come and be in a game, and Derby have got to play the way that we've seen them at Pride Park over the last, 2-3 months. And as I say, if they can do that, I think Derby walk out with the 3 points and get back on that roll again. And then obviously looking into Charlton, which is obviously another opportunity, another team that's beat us this year. So two games of revenge, but we'll talk about Charlton in a little bit more detail in a minute. But what I'm going to do now is I obviously don't know Lincoln that well, but I know somebody who does. Gary from the Stacey West podcast has sent his thoughts on the game tomorrow night. Here comes Gary.
Hello, my name is Gary Hutchinson, and I am the editor of StaceyWest.net, which is a Lincoln City website, co-host of the Stacey West podcast, and star of, well, I say star, loose terminology, of the YouTube channel, along with my dog, with whom I walk regularly talking about Lincoln City. So looking ahead to the game against Derby today, and also looking back for you at our season so far. So first question is, how has our season gone so far? I think it's it probably exceeded expectations for many. I think before the season started, we had a relatively new manager, or head coach rather, in Mark Kennedy come in, who was unproven. His previous experience as a head coach had been at Macclesfield, where I think he won one game in 12, although he did keep them up, and then they were relegated through financial irregularities. But he'd kind of coached around Wolves and Manchester City and Ipswich, but he'd never been a head coach. We also saw several players leave the club over the summer who were probably part of the spine of the club. Liam Bridcut, for instance, turned down a new deal and went to Blackpool. Conor McGrandles turned down a new deal and went to Charlton Athletic. So we were kind of starting again. So we've been on this journey, this odyssey from 2016-17, when we got to the FA Cup quarterfinal, we won the National League, then we won the Checker Trade Trophy, then we won League Two, then we got into League One, survived COVID season, we were 90 minutes from promotion to the Championship, so we've done really, really well, and then this was kind of it was a reset. So there was a lot of uncertainty. I think it's been a season of peaks and troughs. We've had some lows, usually involving Cambridge United. I think we lost 2-0 at Cambridge United on the first game after the summer transfer window. And we were very fearful at that point because we played particularly badly in that game, lost 2-0 to a really poor Cambridge side. And we didn't see, well, as a supporter, I didn't see where we were going to progress from there. From there, we progressed quite quickly. Obviously, we beat Derby 2-0 at Sinsel Bank in a really good game. And we've been relatively solid, and I think a good football team is based on strong foundations. So we've conceded very few goals. We've conceded fewer goals, for instance, than Ipswich Town. We're unbeaten at Sinsel Bank so far this season, albeit with 3 wins and something like, I think, 11 draws. But we've been relatively solid. Going into this year, we had a bit of a tumble. We lost 3-0 to Burton on Boxing Day, an awful game. You know, on either side of kind of draws with Ipswich and Bolton. There was then defeat at Charlton. We then drew 0-0 at MK Dons, 0-0 at Cambridge. And, you know, we were without a win in the league from November the 19th up until last Saturday against Accrington. And then in the space of 2 weeks, the winter window's closed. The game against Cambridge, 0-0 draw. The players were booed off the pitch despite not being beaten at home. The winter window closes. And all of a sudden, we look like we're back on track. We've had 2 wins, 3-0 against Accrington, 1-0 against Bristol Rovers. As of recording, we've gone 450 minutes without conceding a goal. And that's 450 minutes where, with the greatest respect to our opposition, we haven't been under the cosh. You know, it's not that we haven't conceded a goal. It's that we haven't looked like conceding a goal in those minutes. There hasn't been scrambles. There hasn't been hacks off the line. The opposition haven't hit the post and all that sort of stuff. We've looked really, really comfortable. So we're in a position now, I think, where we are a solid team. We're a team that's very much work in progress. We've got some really good players that I'll come on to in a little while. And I think that the rest of the season really is about consolidating ourselves kind of 13th to 15th in the division, at the top of that little mini division, kind of below the playoff hunt, and then kicking on again next year. Thoughts on our manager, Mark Kennedy, technically a head coach rather than a manager. He hadn't had a lot of experience in terms of being a head coach of a football league team. But as he put it in an interview with us at the beginning of the season, he's been in football 30 years. So that's considerable experience around the game. By his own admission, he's learning, he's made mistakes. He wanted to come in and play an attacking brand of football. I think he wanted to play a 4-3-3. And it became quickly apparent that, you know, you can't do that in League One without leaving yourself at risk of conceding goals. We saw it in the early part of his reign. Exeter City came, and, you know, first game of the season could have been 3 or 4-0 up, I think, in the first 20 minutes. Then we should have beaten them by the end of the game. So he's chopped and changed. He's very candid. He's very open. He's quite respectful of opposition. He refused to get get drawn into kind of war of words. For instance, we had Joey Barton, Bristol Rovers at the bank this Saturday, just gone. You know, awful, terrible man. Behaviour was absolutely disgusting for a manager, kicking off on the field with our players. And Mark Kennedy refuses to get drawn, refuses to comment. I won't comment on what other people do, all that sort of stuff. I like that. I like a level of respect from a manager. He's been under pressure. He has, by his own admission, the two games against Cambridge were tough. He said we did a live podcast with him on the Thursday before this game. And he admitted he feared a little bit after the first Cambridge game. You know, am I going to see this period through? And then the second Cambridge game, I think he's found that frustrating because we were, you know, two games where we hadn't conceded goals, two solid looking points against MK Dons and Cambridge, but games that fans felt we should have won. And I think there was a bit of a wobble after that as well. But on the whole, he's shown a remarkable ability to bounce back. We are what we are with Lincoln City. We're a team that, you know, if we finished 13th, we've probably, you know, outperformed our budget in terms of, you know, relevant to the rest of the league, just about. I think for a young head coach and for a kind of a head coach in his first role, I think Mark Kennedy's doing well. I was going to say okay, but okay would be underplaying how he's done. I mean, bear in mind, we got through to the League Cup, fifth round, I think it was. And lost at Southampton. We should have beaten Southampton. You know, everybody beat Southampton, and we certainly should have done. We were 1-0 up. Their leveller from Chad Evans was offside. We were then denied a stonewall penalty, a handball in the area that was as clear as day. VAR gives it all day long. And then they get a decent winner. But we should have been 2-0 up rather than 1-1 when they got their consolation, and it should have been us going through to play Manchester City. But that's football, isn't it? Shoulda, woulda, coulda. In terms of key players, I think your key players are not the obvious ones. They're not your flair players. People say a key player is a flair winger who turns up and, you know, puts four or five assists in and that sort of thing. But for me, any football team's key players are the ones that form the spine of the team. The ones that when you look at the team sheet and you see they're on it, you think, yeah, it's a strong side today. So with that in mind, Carl Rushworth in goals had a superb season. He's on loan from Brighton and Hove Albion. He's an England under 21 international. He doesn't look the biggest, but he's the only loan keeper in recent years we've had in. I can't think that he's made more than one significant mistake. I mean, we had Alex Palmer on loan, who was from West Brom. He was a superb keeper, but he went through a spell of 5, 6, 7 games where he made errors. We had Josh Griffiths on loan from West Brom, who kind of never quite settled in. But Carl Rushworth looks like a senior keeper. He's good in the air. He'll come for crosses. He commands his area well. He looks to distribute quick where he can. He'll slow the game down where he can as well. So he's certainly a key player. Then in defence, I personally think that we've got a collection of centre backs that almost any of them would get in a squad of 16 of any team in this division, and that's a bold statement, I think, for a team like Lincoln City. We've got a great array of centre backs. I'm gonna go with Paulie O'Connor, who we signed from Bradford City. So he's a former Leeds youngster. He came over, played for Leeds under 23s, and then he moved to Blackpool on loan. I think then Gary Bowyer took him to Bradford, Player of the Year 2 years in a row. He's moved to us. 25 years old. He's really good in the air. He won 70% of his aerial duels against Bristol Rovers this weekend. But he's also a 46-game-a-season man. If he don't get sent off, he very rarely gets injured. And that's something we've struggled with over the last couple of years. And we play three at the back at the moment. So we play like a 3-4-3 almost. So Powdy plays as part of that. Lewis Monsma's just come back. Hard to call him a key player because he's played two games since doing his ACL back in January 2022. But he's looked really calm and composed since coming back as well. He's a goal threat. He's a threat in both boxes. And I think it's probably a little bit too early to be playing you guys and saying he's our key player. But 6, 7 weeks down the line, he's going to be back there, I think. And then I look into the midfield, and I'm going to go back and be a hypocrite on what I've just said, because our key player in the middle of the park has played two games for us at the moment, which is Ethan Arahan. He's just signed from St Mirren. He was heavily tipped to move to the Championship. St Mirren, I think, accepted sort of £300,000 bids from teams in our league, money bags teams with no real direction, like Forest Green Rovers. But Ethan turned those down. He wanted to come to a football club where he would play games, but he would also have a chance of progression, seeing what we've done with the likes of Brennan Johnson, for instance, who came, did really well for us and went on. Luis Fiorini came in loan, did really well for us and went, moved on. We've let Cohen Bramwell came through the club and has moved to the Championship. Anthony Scully has, Teo Eden has. So we've got this kind of reputation now. I've seen Ethan play 180 minutes of football for Lincoln City. The closest I can say, the best I can describe him, and you know, for Derby fans, this, you know, please don't take this the wrong way because I'm using a former Forest player, but he's a Liam Bridcutt. He's like a 21-year-old Liam Bridcutt. He makes the game look effortless. He's got a strong tackle. He's got great control of the ball. You know, his passing range is very, very good. And then you've got a player like that in the heartbeat of your in the heart of your midfield. You've always got a chance because he'll help the defence and the forwards out. And then the final player I'll mark as a key player right now is our centre-forward, Ben House. And I know people might be under this impression that he's Jack Diamond from Sunderland who scored goals for us and assists for us. But Ben House is a really intelligent centre-forward, and a team like Lincoln City need a centre-forward who knows when to press, when to commit, when not to press, when to let the opposition have the ball. He's really, really good at that. He's got a good eye for goal. He makes some clever runs. I think he scored 8 goals this season, 7 in League One, but they're against the bigger clubs as well. He's not just, you know, he's not like one of these players that pops up, you know, like international level. They've got 50 goals, but 10 of them are against San Marino. He's not that type of player. He's not, you know, all my goals have come in the EFL Trophy. He's a League One quality player. I think he'll play higher up the division. He's always got a goal in him. He's not physically the biggest, you know, you're not going to pump big balls into him and have him flicking them on, but he'll give a defender a torrid time without fancying it from his movement and from how he understands the game. In terms of tactics, as I said, we play a 3-4-3. I think our strengths in that are almost certainly our defence. We're really solid at the back. You know, as I said, we don't concede many goals, 450 minutes at the moment without conceding a goal. In terms of weaknesses, sometimes we can lack a bit of creativity, not so much over the last couple of games. Probably don't quite have the width as yet. Midi Shadipo's on loan from QPR. He's still settling. I quite like the look of Midi, but he's still settling. Jack Diamond can drift in and out of games a little bit as well. We've had an unsettled midfield. So Matty Virtue came in from Blackpool, really good first half of the season. He's injured. He's out for, you know, the next 7 or 8 weeks. So how we partner Ethan Erahan in the midfield is going to be interesting. It's been Ted Bishop, Rolls-Royce of a footballer on his day. Unfortunately, he can go missing as well. But it's hard when we're playing well and when we're on our day, it's hard to actually pick a weakness. It's probably just a lack of creativity. Thoughts on Derby? Look, I thought the win against Derby earlier in the season for us was one of our biggest results in living memory, purely and simply because Derby County are a huge club. You know, I've written about Championship football for websites. I've covered the Championship. And I understand Derby are a huge, huge club. You know, I've collected Panini stickers with Derby County players in, all that sort of stuff. So it was a big, big win for us. I think Derby will go up this season. I don't think there's any reason why they shouldn't, or why you shouldn't, rather. You know, big ground, big club, Championship, borderline Premier League club, and it's as simple as that. So for the likes of Lincoln City, I don't want to call us little Lincoln City. You know, these are the games that 7 or 8 years ago, when we were going away to Dartford or Dover, you only dreamt about it. You dreamt about getting Derby in the cup, and now here we are coming in the league. But we don't have that small-time mentality. We'll bring 2,000 to Pride Park, and it'll be a huge game. So, it's going to be tough for us. I'm pleased that you lost to Wickham, with the greatest respect, because I think if you're coming in, if you're at home and you're playing a smaller club like us and you're on a good run, it's easier to have that confidence. But having the confidence not by Wickham might actually play to us. And people who sit around me at Sinsel Bank were saying on Saturday, like, it's bad news Derby have lost now because they'll be looking to bounce back. My gut feeling is when a run ends, sometimes it can end in pretty spectacular fashion and you can go 2, 3, 4 games before you bounce back. That's what I'm hoping that we seize upon. It should be a good game. Look, we are a team that are, you know, just as good out of possession, if not better, than we are in possession. So we're good without the ball. We're good at pressing. We'll let teams have lots and lots of possession and not be under threat. Ipswich Town, for instance, we've played them twice. They're 70-odd% possession both times. We took 4 points from them. Bolton, we did the same when they came to us. Barnsley, we've been there, done the same to them. We've beaten Barnsley twice, once in the Mickey Mouse Trophy. Once in the league, scored 4 goals at Oakwell without reply. So we're really, really good out of possession. And I think that's what we'll look to do. We'll look to let you have the ball and we'll look to take our opportunities on the break. I think that it's going to be a close game. I am going to be really bold because I'm normally a pessimist. I'm going to be really bold and say that I think that we can take a point from you. So I think it'll be 1-1. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gary, and everyone involved with the Stacey West. Cracking insights into Lincoln's perspective coming into that game tomorrow night. And as Gary said there, he thinks Lincoln can come and get a point. I mentioned in my bit, they're a bit of a draw specialist. Maybe, a point is what happens. Hopefully not. Hopefully, obviously, Derby get 3 points. I think Derby will pick up the 3 points, and I'm going to go for a 2-0, I think. Obviously, we're used to goals at Pride Park, but I think I'm going to dampen it down a little bit. I'm going to go 2-0, but I do think Derby are going to pick up the 3 points. And obviously, anybody coming to Pride Park at the moment and scoring doesn't seem to happen too often. I'm going to go 2-0 on that one. And it's just imperative, isn't it, that Derby get back to winning ways as soon as possible. Obviously, two defeats in a row would absolutely knock the wheels off the bandwagon. But, you know, we are coming into a stage of the season where a couple of defeats in a row are gonna hurt. So, especially with the form of everybody else. Above us, obviously, it keeps going, and we've said on the podcast the last couple of weeks how imperative this month could be, and so Derby obviously need to get as many points as we wanted. We said last week 7 out of 9 this week would have been a great return. We've still got the opportunity to get 6, and that's probably not as much of a dent as. As maybe at first thought when we'd lost on Saturday against Wickham. But that's the Lincoln game. Obviously, we probably won't have another podcast out before the Charlton game. So, Charlton Saturday at Pride Park. Hopefully, obviously, on the back of 3 points against Lincoln on Tuesday night. A great opportunity to another home game, get that run really rolling again. Before then, I think it's a 7-day break until we actually play Barnsley away, which is obviously to end the month a very, very tough fixture. And then Plymouth is on the horizon away. So, you know, some big away games that's happened just recently and obviously still to come. So it is imperative that Derby get those points. We've said Derby need to average 2 points a game. Out of the 3 games, it's 6 points. If you win tomorrow night, you've got the opportunity to win on Saturday. There's your average of two. So, you know, Charlton, a similar position in the league. Well, they're 12th, Lincoln are 13th. They're on the same points. They've won one more than Lincoln, but they've lost 3 more than Lincoln. So, again, another team that will want to come to Pride Park and think that they can get a result. They got a result against us. It was the second game of the season, wasn't it, away at Charlton. I remember Derby having an absolute barnstorming of the first half. Absolute ripped him apart. Couldn't get the ball in the back of the net. Obviously one of the reasons why Liam Rossini in the end lost his job. But again, so another team that know how to pick up a result against Derby this season, obviously under a different regime, under a different style, and Derby are most certainly a very, very different team to that. But again, it's a great opportunity to hopefully back up a positive result on Tuesday night. And if you can get those two wins, then you're going into that Barnsley game, which again is going to be a massive game. You're going into that Barnsley game away, and it's a much rosier position than obviously if we stutter in the next two. If we stutter in the next two, then obviously we stutter, and it'll be all about, I suppose, Paul Warren's first real test. Well, not first real test, but a real test on getting Derby out of, you know, ending one good run and hopefully starting another. So, as I say, we've got to hope that this week, we bigged it up on the podcast over the last couple of weeks, hopefully that, you know, Derby do win one of the three. I think it'd be diabolical if Derby don't win one of the three. And we'll see where we are on Saturday after tomorrow night, and then hopefully, say, 3 points in both games. And I think at that point, the Wigan game sort of just goes into insignificance, really. Nobody likes to lose. Of course they don't. Even Man City lose games. So, you know, it's just about building. It's just about building and getting on another run. And no better way, really, of having those of having those two home games. But as I say, Charlton will definitely come with an idea of, you know, they can hurt Derby. They'll think they can hurt Derby, and it'll be about Derby to turn on that style that we've had at Pride Park. Obviously, unfortunately, as I mentioned at the beginning, I haven't been able to secure a Charlton perspective on this, so I have to apologise. So obviously I don't really know a great deal about Charlton, so obviously this chat is a little shorter than I wanted to be. But at the end of the day, of course, we will see them on Saturday, and fingers crossed Derby come out of all this with the 3 points in both games, and again everything is sort of rosy in the garden again, and really looking forward to then another busy couple of weeks. Obviously it's not Saturday, Tuesday, which is great for Derby's recovery, but I say on the horizon after that, you've got Barnsley, you've then got Cheltenham at home, you've got another two home games, Cheltenham at home, Shrewsbury at home, before what is going to be a massively tasty trip to Plymouth. So at the end of the day, 4 out of the next 5 are at home. Obviously, it would have been great to get that result against Wickham, because that would have really have boosted that run, and we'd have probably got close to 20 games unbeaten in the league. But no better way to then try and restart another run is by getting the results against Lincoln and Charlton. Obviously, going to Barnsley and hopefully picking something up there, and then backing it up again with Cheltenham and Shrewsbury. Obviously, before that crucial trip to Plymouth, which I think it will be a crucial one. We said it on the podcast over the last couple of weeks. February was going to not make or break Derby, but we would very much know what situation Derby were going to be in, especially with all those home games. Obviously, a couple of really tricky away ties, and then obviously the start of March isn't any easier, because Shrewsbury, who are in quite a bit of decent form, and then obviously going to Plymouth. So it's thick, it's fast. That's League One football. Obviously, it's the Championship as well, and we're well used to that. So we'll just have to wait and see. But unfortunately, that run is over, and Derby, hopefully now, as I say, over the next 5 or 6 games, can get on another one. And that is what teams do who get promoted. You know, they don't see... Well, they do see a defeat as a you know, a bad thing, but they don't. It doesn't define them. Good teams find another way of getting on another one of those runs, and it would be fantastic coming into the business end of the season if Derby are in, obviously go on another one of those runs and really get some momentum going towards the end of the season. And that is pretty much it for this week's podcast. I thank you all for listening. As I say, I'm disappointed that I've not been able to have any guests live with us tonight. It just wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have been audio. It wouldn't have been good audio. It really wouldn't. The internet is just not what it should be around here, in the outskirts of East Surrey, where I am. So we will reconvene next week. Fingers crossed we will have some live guests, probably the ones we had planned for tonight. So, and then obviously we will have all the fallout from Lincoln, all the fallout from Charlton, and we'll be looking forward to that Barnsley game. plenty to be talking about next week. And fingers crossed, Derby can finish the week better than they started it, with two very big positive results, two big wins. That's what we're hoping for here at Rams Review. Certainly what I'm hoping for, and hopefully everybody listening's hoping for. And that is all. So until next week, as always, thanks for listening, and up them Rams. Thank you for listening to the Rams Review podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast. And if you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at RamsReview1, on Facebook, Rams Review Podcast. Drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. And until next time, up the Rams.